Brethren, there's a saying in the world, and perhaps you've heard it, count your blessings. It's from a quote by accomplished writer and religious thinker William Penn. His quote was, "The secret of happiness is to count your blessings while others are adding up their troubles." You know, brethren, the Feast of Tabernacles this year kind of brought home to me an appreciation for the blessings in my life. It was one of the most spiritually enriching feasts for me in a long time. And it made me consider just how full my life really is. It caused me to think of all the blessings that have come my way. And I know I'm not the only one this has happened to. Brethren, how often do we stop, take stock in, consider the blessings that God has poured into our lives, the multitude of blessings that we enjoy and appreciate? The title of this message today is Count Your Blessings, If You Can. Count your blessings, if you can, as God has blessed us so magnificently. Let's look a little bit here for a moment into the meaning of the word blessing. The meaning is multifaceted, to say the least, especially when you look in the Bible. But for beginners, Oxford's online dictionary has this to say about the word blessing. Quote, God's favor and protection, unquote, or, quote, a prayer asking for God's favor and protection. Dictionary.com has this to say, a blessing is a special favor, a mercy or benefit, or a favor or gift bestowed by God. That was dictionary.com. There are two main words for blessing that are used in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word is berakah, B-E-R-A-K-A-H. It's Strong's H-1293, and it simply means blessing, okay? And in the New Testament, I'm going to try and say this, eulogeo, E-U-L-O-G-E-O, and that's the Strong's word G-2127, and it means basically to invoke blessings upon a person. Now, there are other words where these are the root. There are other forms of these words, and there are other words themselves to denote terms like bless, blessed, blessedness, among others. It's quite involved, actually, but it would make a good Bible study to examine those different words and different meanings. But for now, I want to center on the word blessing. Brethren, all of us, after some fashion, have been blessed by God according to the outpouring of his goodness toward us. And these are not just physical blessings, the ones that we can see and recognize, but of course spiritual as well, spiritual blessings. Blessings are often the result of God keeping his promises, like he did to Abraham. We know this from reading those passages in the Bible. God promised Abraham a nation from him, he and Sarah. David, we alluded to a promise to David in the second hymn we sang today. And the same goes for us. If we put him first in our lives, obey him, and keep his commandments. And we'll talk a little more about that as we go on here. And we put this to the test in our lives, don't we? When we obey God, keep his word, and seek his blessing. Is our life not better for it? Yes. And does he not bless us? Yes. Brethren, as we study God's word, you know, as we go through our Bible study throughout our lives, it becomes clear that gratitude and thankfulness are tied very strongly to blessings and to being blessed. So do we remember to give thanks? You know, when we ask for a blessing on something, some major event coming up in our lives, when a significant decision has to be made, or on our meals that we receive several times a day, you know, do we ask thanks when we're asking for blessings? We must always be thankful for our blessings. It is so very, very important. This was discussed in a sermon I listened to recently by Mr. Mario Segli. He gave this sermon in July of this year, and his message was called Counting Our Blessings. And in this message, he presented seven, what he called, main blessings, seven significant blessings from God and Jesus Christ that he and they have given to us. And we need to show our gratitude for those was essentially the theme of his message. I want to spend some time today sharing these with you, these seven main blessings of his. And as we visit each of these, under each of these main blessings that we're going to outline, I'd like for us to think about, to consider, perhaps, just how many other blessings fall under each one of these main blessings that have come into our lives as a result of these main blessings. As we do, I think we're going to find that there are too many to count. That itself isn't a blessing. It's a blessing, totally. Okay, so to begin with, number one, the blessing of our calling. The blessing of our calling. And to begin, if you'd please turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, we'll begin there. Luke chapter 10 and verses 19 and 20 we're going to read. Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. And we're reading verse 19 mostly to get a little context here. Jesus Christ talking to the 70. He said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So essentially they were blessed with this power and ability to do this. But verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Your names are written in heaven. And now to further exemplify this, let's go to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. As soon as I make sure Philippians is still in my Bible. There it is. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And again, we're reading verse 2 just to give a tiny bit of context. "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." And then verse 3, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." See, these two passages remind us of the great blessing of our calling to greater things, to service to God and one another, ultimately to eternal life, that our names are written in heaven and point to the real reason for our lives, to become a member of the family of God, to become sons and daughters of God, to serve with him, to live with him, to have that joy of being with God in Jesus Christ. Blessing number two, the blessing of knowing God and Jesus Christ and knowing God's laws. The blessing of knowing God and Jesus Christ and God's laws. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9, please. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm still in Isaiah. Got to turn the pages a little faster. Jeremiah 9, and we will read verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." In verse 24, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. These things I delight in, says the Lord. And now let's go to John chapter 8. We're going to do a bit of flipping here today. John chapter 8. In verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. Brethren, God meant for his laws and his ordinances to be a blessing for us, and indeed all of humanity. He meant with these laws and ordinances for blessings of peace and freedom. They come from those. From obedience to those things he has provided to guide us in righteous physical and spiritual conduct. There it is. Doing God's laws and ways bring automatic blessings. We've proven that in our lives, over the course of our lives. And has been said before, if the world would keep just one of God's commandments, just one, what a blessing it would be to humanity. There would be an incredible difference if only one commandment was kept. You know, Mr. Light mentioned recently in a message that he gave that one of the biggest blessings a child can receive is to be brought up in a godly home with godly parents, to receive wholesome teaching and instruction in God's way throughout their course of growing up. As mentioned in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, if a child is set upon the right path, it can guide that child all of his or her days. I can speak of this experience personally. Some of you have heard this story, but kind of to summarize, I was brought up in a home that rightly taught the way of God. When I became a teenager, 18 in that area, I decided I wanted to go find something else to look at, so I left. 17 years later, I came back to this way. I came back to it. I remembered it. God made sure I remembered it. I was trained as a child in the way to go, and I came back to it. That is a blessing. We also know God as love. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says that. God is love. And he is a God of mercy. There are many places in the Bible that talk about that. Psalm 59 verse 17, that's just one place. He is also slow to anger. I want to go to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17 just to bear this out. Nehemiah. As soon as I remember where it is. There we go. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. And this is Nehemiah speaking of his own people, the people of Israel. Nehemiah 9 verse 17. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even though so many times God was vexed with them, he showed his mercy, he showed his love, he showed his patience to them, as he does to us. What a blessing, brethren, to know that this is our God and his son Jesus Christ that we're talking about here. Number three, the blessing of knowing what they have done for us, what God and Jesus Christ have done for us. The blessing of knowing what they have done for us. Let's go to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We know that Jesus Christ takes away the sin of the world through our forgiveness, through reconciliation, and through the sacrifice that he made on our behalf and on behalf of all of humanity. That's an order of magnitude that is just incredible. Now let's go to Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to talk about what the header shows in my Bible anyway, God's everlasting love. Romans 8, we're going to start in verse 31. And we're going to read through verse 39. Romans 8, verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son," as we read in John there, "but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." They did all these things for us and all of humanity. They gave everything for us in everlasting love, and they continue to do so. Number four. The blessing of the abundant life he has given us. The blessing of the abundant life he has given us. We're not too far away. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus Christ speaking, of course. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You know, in perspective, even with the occasional sufferings that we all experience as part of our calling, we have an infinitely better life than those in the world who have not had an opportunity such as ours to learn, to understand, and to live what true life is according to God and his word. And on top of that, we have material blessings, the likes of which most other nations in this world have not seen. And on top of that, we have access today to God in an amazing way through Christ's life and sacrifice that we just talked about, through the Spirit of God. We have access that even the angels do not have. And most of all, we have the blessing of peace. The blessing of peace. Even as the world around us is in turmoil, the peace of God and his way working in our lives, we have that. We have that. Blessing number five, the blessing of being part of God's work. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll read verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, he's teaching us to be part of his family, so he interacts with us. We have a relationship with him. We are doing God's will. We are watching. We're being made ready to join with Jesus Christ at his return. We are preaching the word through actual preaching and through our examples every day as we go about into society. We're preparing a people. We're serving a people. And we're being that godly light of hope to those around us. As we serve God, as we make our lives more and more like his, we do his work. Blessing number 6. The blessing of two great comforters, God and Jesus Christ. The blessing of two great comforters, God and Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're close. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's almost right across the page. How about that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God and Jesus Christ are concerned about and know all about all of our illnesses, all of our difficulties, all of our worries. Did I break the camera? Okay. I've been known to break mirrors before, but we won't go into that. But they know all about all of our sufferings, all of our pains, all of our worries, doubts, fears. They know and they comfort us if we take them to them. Psalm 103 reminds us, forget not all his benefits. And these are certainly some of his many benefits to those who keep all his commands. And one of those benefits is godly comfort. Are trials a blessing? Are trials a blessing? They certainly can be. God allows them, as we know, for our benefit, for our good, for our education. And sometimes we have to repeat the lesson, but eventually we get it. And we know that from James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. But he does not let them overwhelm us. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 reminds us of that. He will not let us be overtaken. They comfort us. And the final blessing, blessing number 7, the blessing of being able to live in the country that we do. Let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49. And we'll read verses 22 through 26. Genesis 49, verses 23 through 26. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, by the stone of Israel, or the stone of Israel, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. This is Jacob's blessing to his son Joseph, from whom ultimately came the nation that we live in today. Such blessings this nation has. Though this nation is diminishing today as it turns its back on God, we still have religious freedoms here that no longer exist in most countries of the world. We still have considerable physical abundance. We still have protection. We still have rule of law in some cases works. But we have those special blessings in this country. There are so many other places we can go. Many of you probably have stories to that effect. Things don't work in other countries the way they do here because God's blessing, for the time being, is still here. Anyway, brethren, these seven categories of God's tremendous blessings to us are blessings we as God's family all share. And if we ever need to be reminded, there is a wonderful list, a chapter of blessings in Psalm 103. I really appreciated Mr. Kester reading the first verse of that first hymn today. This Psalm 103 is actually sung as a hymn, hymn number 63 in our hymnals. It's almost a summary of what we've discussed today. Now, I'd like to go through the first 17 verses of Psalm 103. I'm half tempted to sing it, but I will spare you. Psalm 103, and we'll just start in verse 1 here. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. That bless right there means praise, essentially. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, there it is again, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. That's a major blessing. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. And we'll go ahead and stop there. As we begin to wrap this up, brethren, I'd like to make mention of one more thing. You know, we can go to God in prayer and ask for blessings from him, and we do this, we've done this. But we must be mindful of what we're asking for. What are we asking for? Why are we asking for it? For example, do I really need to go to God and ask for a blessing so I can get a new model train engine? Probably not a good thing. I don't think God would look favorably upon that. But what are our priorities? What are our priorities? Thinking about Mr. Carl Kinsella's recent sermon on pleasing God, on how to please God, we consider that. Will these things that we are asking for as blessings please God? Are we asking in a direction that honors God? If I may, I'd like to suggest that blessings that are in line with what and how God thinks and what he really wants for us are good to ask for. Let's consider for a moment the interaction between God and Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. God gave Solomon a very special opportunity for blessing. 2 Chronicles, wow, almost turned right to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we'll read verses 7 through 13. Many of us are familiar with this story. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, not chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "I would like a new robe, and I would like gold chains around my neck, and I like money." No, he didn't say any of those things. Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" Verse 11, then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And on top of that, I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." So Solomon came to Jerusalem from the high place that was at Gibeon from before the tabernacle of meeting and reigned over Israel with that wisdom and knowledge, at least for a while. This story shows us how meaningful it is to God to ask things of him that are pleasing to him, for he will bless greatly. And it shows us as well that what we do with the blessings that God gives us is under our control. We know the story with Solomon. Ultimately, he was not wise with what he did with the wisdom that God gave him. But because of this, we have the opportunity to learn and do otherwise. Brethren, our blessings are a wonderful outpouring from God of his love for us. As we head into the Thanksgiving season and beyond, let us remember our many blessings, especially when we're feeling down. Remember the blessings that God has bestowed on us. Remember to please God by acknowledging and showing gratitude for the many, many blessings we have been granted. Remember to be mindful of what we ask for as blessings and what we do with those blessings. And remember the seven main blessings that God has given each and every one of us. So many blessings. Count them if you can.